about the morning is even the worship, like the Lord's Prayer. We sang the Lord's Prayer as the last song. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So his kingdom coming is a missional prayer. You know, it's also a prayer of blessing. We're in a series called Bless. And it's part of our vision, love God, which we're doing in our worship and the reading of the word and prayers. We're loving one another. And in the midst of that loving one another, those two combined, God and us, become a blessing when we go and bring God's love to, could be someone in the church, it could be someone outside the church. I love that we had the missions update and a beautiful couple that God's called to go over into other nations. And so that's what Bless is about. And last week, two Sundays ago, we began the series, and BLESS is an acronym, and the first B stands for begin with prayer, and because prayer is necessary, I liked how Ryan called the sermon pre-game prayers, and he rightly said they're mission critical. Don't try and do the mission God's called you to, and I don't mean mission as in just a missionary overseas, but a mission in the places you live, work, and breathe, without first praying before you have these divine encounters with people. And he talked about prayer for boldness in conversation. So we need boldness. Even the New Testament believers, and some of them had actually been disciples of Jesus, and the church is praying for boldness so they'll continue, you know, they won't be intimidated by the world around them. And they pray for God would open up hearts, and that is, I could tell you so many stories. Well, I could tell you one story I'm not going to where I didn't pray when I had an opportunity. I knew I was going to meet someone and share the gospel, and nothing happened. And then I pray, and nothing happened. I had a second opportunity, and the prayer just made the world a difference. Then we pray to notice holy circumstances, which is actually a good lead-in for this Sunday's message. But last Sunday, while the women were gone, it was in the BLESS series, but not part of the acronym, and it was just simply asking the question, why bless others? And we saw three compelling reasons God gives us to have this life that blesses. So before we go any further, we should, I know there's something we need to do. Oh, pray. Begin with prayer. Oh, God, you are so good. Thank you for this opportunity to meet with you on Sunday. And I know, and just in our missions update, there are places where they cannot openly, publicly meet and worship. And thank you for the missionaries and bless them that are in those places that are not being intimidated, but boldly proclaiming your word and the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here, Lord. We are grateful for the salvation you give us. Maybe some of us are here spiritually curious, not sure. Either way, thank you for bringing us here to hear the word of God. Thank you for this BLESS series, Lord, as we are beginning with prayer, but we're learning to listen with care also. So help us become missional where our lives are so compelled, Jesus, by your love that it just directs everything we do. Your love brings us to our knees to pray about how you want us to live, the things you want us to say. So, Lord, let us be missional, so absorbed with your love, with that message of the gospel, that we will take it wherever you lead us for the Father's glory. And all of God's people said, amen. In your program, there's an outline, and also, and this is today's sermon title, Listen with Care. And so each Sunday in the bulletin, there will be an insert to kind of help us become people of blessing, souls of blessing, as I talked about last week. And so in this Listen with Care, I want to begin first with hearing. So, which is just another way to say listen. So In John chapter 10, I thought it'd be good to begin with Jesus. It's always a good starting place. And verse 4 says, when Jesus is telling a parable, or giving an analogy of what a relationship with him is like. And he said, when he, speaking of the shepherd, has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his what? Voice. Kind of like meaning, knowing it, meaning, oh, I recognize that voice. And that's true among sheep herders. Sheep will not follow a shepherd that they do not know their voice unless they're being driven from behind with sticks and dogs. But Jesus leads us from the front in the gentleness of his voice. Amen. But he then also says this in verse 14 through 16. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will, what? Listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So he has other sheep out there that he wants to bring into his flock, and he uses us to help accomplish that great task. For the end of John, he says, as the Father sent me, he said to his disciples, so I send you in the Spirit. So this is our calling, to be good listeners of the shepherd's voice. And now if we turn to our passage this morning in Acts chapter 8, and this is where we'll be anchored until the very end here. So you can confidently turn there and not worry about having to flip all over the place, I don't think. We'll see. But in Acts chapter 8, before we get into our passage this morning, I want to give you a little context of someone called Philip. And I can't tell his whole story. He started earlier in the book of Acts when him and six others were commissioned to serve a group of widows that were being neglected. But at this point in his story, we read in verse 5 through 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Say with me, much joy. Much joy. That's what blessings bring. The joy of the Lord into their lives. And they experience his presence, healing, setting free from prisons, but most of all, finding salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. So we want to look at this morning, how does one listen with care? God has, and here's the key. God has given us how many ears? Some of you guys aren't sure. You're like, is this a trick question? Two. How many mouths has he given us? One. There's the first clue. We're building the whole message around two ears and one mouth. Okay? And remember that ratio, because we usually get it wrong. And so we speak more with our mouths than we're listening to people. And this is to help us be good listeners before we become powerful speakers. So there are kind of in this idea this morning, I'm going to talk about our two ears and how we can listen figuratively speaking different with each of them. And then we'll talk about our mouths. And that's what's so cool. I love the story in Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26, is because Philip And his story really was instructive for me. And I love this story. I've preached on it in places before, but I just want to anchor us in our listening with care to this particular story. It's a fun story, but it's also quite instructive. So, first point, or the first ear we listen for, we listen for the Lord's guidance. So with one ear, we listen for the Lord's what? Guidance. Remember this. We have a shepherd that's leading us, meaning he's going somewhere. He's taking us places. So we want to hear how our Lord is guiding us into these opportunities to be a blessing. And within this, I want to draw out three things. First, listen to the divine circumstances. And so we'll read verses 26 through 30, and then we'll pull out some of these things. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. She had come to Jerusalem, or he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So, how many ways did you hear in that short account that we can listen to the guidance of God? When we think about God's voice, you tend to think just audibly what you can naturally hear with your ears. And he can speak that way. Or you might be thinking just the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit nudging you, giving you some words or pictures of how he's guiding you. And he does that too. But God is spirit, and he can do things that we can, if we pay attention, we can hear him. And so he has many ways he can speak to us. And the first one is to listen to divine circumstances. So Philip is in Samaria. And then we read in verse, let me just check something here. And this is not in your outline, but I just want to read verse 1 of chapter 8, because this is the context of how we can hear. And Saul approved of his execution, talking about Stephen's execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So what's going on? What's the circumstances? Persecution of Christians. And it scattered them. They were having a good church time. Things were awesome. Churches exploding. And then God explodes the situation, and they scat, and they have to run for it, except for the apostles. So God allowed these circumstances to happen so that his blessing could extend into other places. Now we read, and Philip was one of those who had to hoof it, and he went to Samaria. But it's cool because he was looking at this, obviously asking, "What do you want me to do now? I don't have my ministry at church anymore to the widows." He didn't say, "Well, I'll just get a job and settle down and live a Samaritan life." He's looking at this as a way of God speaking to him, creating more opportunities. Do you look for that in your life? You ever get hit by hard times? And your first thought, like me, is, what are you doing to me, God? Things were going well, right? But ask yourself, when these things happen, what is God trying to say? And just as we're worshiping this morning, it plopped in my own mind how God, I think it's important that we look at the life around us, the circumstances, and when things seem to go south, and you might even think God's punishing me, better to ask, what are you trying to say to me, God? Or what are you trying to do? That's the voice of God in divine circumstances, or you swap the word divine for difficult. I know, and this is the thought that popped in my head as we're worshiping for this story is, and it's fun that Calvin and Marissa are getting married today, and I'm looking forward to that. But that reminds me of when just a couple years ago, Jill and I got married, and we lived in California, and so you can just dreamy young couple, got my career, you know, just before we got married, just months before as an engineer in Silicon Valley. You know, got an apartment. We had nothing, almost no furniture and food. But, you know, that we were just young in love, and that's all we needed. We didn't need physical nourishment. And so, but things are going great. Then in Silicon Valley, they have their own economic world, and they went in their own recession. And I got laid off. You know, one year. At working there, all of a sudden I'm laid off without a job. But also I was back in church knowing God, and it's like I'm going to trust him. But you know how it is, you know, a week goes by, and you think, yeah, you know, boy, if I get a job right away, I'm going to have all the severance money. This is going to be cool. They got bought out by another company. But I only have 1 year experience. Pretty soon, weeks turn into a month. I interview at one job, Microlinear. They were nice, but I don't think they were interested in me because I kept seeing the ad continue. And I think they wanted someone more experienced. And 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and hit 5 months. And now we're within weeks of zero money to keep going. Jill's working full time, but we're not going to make it. Then Microlinear calls back, and I get a job there. And you know, God, what God was doing, he's teaching me trusting him in these difficult circumstances. But in this also, what are you doing, God? And so God is able to even prevent a company from hiring someone if he wants you there to be a blessing. I had previously, when I was a technician at the other company, I was able to share Jesus with people with my new faith, and it was awesome. But here was a new place God wanted to bring Jesus into in the gospel message. And so it became opportunities to share, saw people get saved, baptized. God gave me favor there, was able to start a Bible study in the Gospel of Mark in one of the conference rooms. So in other words, look at these as, what are you trying to tell me, God? He loves everyone. He loves the world, people, and he wants you to be a blessing, but it might have to go through tough times for that. So what we see with Philip is the way God spoke to him in the circumstances was an angel showed up, which is pretty cool. I haven't had that one. And the angel says, rise up and go. By the way, if an angel shows up, just don't ignore him, all right? You know, or her, or whatever. Angels are sexless. But, you know, just like, oh, cool, angel, look, honey, in the living room there. It's like, no, pay attention. Rise up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, we read these things. These are condensed. And so I get out the Bible map and find out that from where he is in Samaria to the traveling to Gaza is going to be a 90-mile journey. Does that sound like an inconvenience? So, you know, we're like, yeah, use me. And he says, okay, angel shows up and says, okay, I want you to go from some prairie to Mount Morris in Illinois, not in Wisconsin, and you're going to have to walk through Janesville. You're going to, after another day, you'll get through past Rockford and keep going south, and you'll get to Mount Morris. How many of you want to be a blessing for the Lord? I do. And we got a car. It's only just over an hour now. So I just want you to see that God will accomplish his work through, but listen to the circumstances of life that you're in, but also notice divine coincidences. So that's another voice of the Lord. That's why in your outline, I say, listen to divine circumstances. You're wondering, how do you listen to circumstances? To the Spirit. Then listen to the divine coincidences. So he starts his journey, and we get a little background. So what was Philip doing in earlier in Acts? He was blessing a whole city. So never try and second guess using world values about how God is directing you. Wouldn't you think him blessing a whole city with the gospel and people getting freed and healed is more important than some dude in a broken down chariot on the side of the road? God cares about each person, and he may turn your world upside down to reach somebody. It wasn't broken down. It was a really nice chariot. And when you hear chariot, don't think of Ben-Hur, all right, the fighting chariots. This was the chariot of a rich. Think of a limo on the side of the road in a desert. And it had a canopy. It had seats in it. Maybe a cocktail bar. I'm not sure. But he reaches, because that's what I think of limos. I've never actually been in one, but I've seen movies. And so he is walking this journey to there. And after 90 miles and many days, he gets to the road to the place where the angel told him to go. And, what a coincidence. Pulled off on the shoulder of the road is a chariot. Could that be for me, God? And so when he sees it, and then he gets close enough to hear that this person, and we're told it's a eunuch, he didn't know that, by the way, that was a little backstory that we were given, is reading from the Bible, he knows. Okay. Desert, long road, chariot, someone's reading the Bible. Is that God? I love his response. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran. I love his enthusiasm. You know, just running right towards this pulled over vehicle, right? And then he asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? And so it's listening to circumstances, to coincidences, but it's also listening to the Spirit. And so does your heart desire to hear God above all other things? Sometimes we have to silence out the noises to be able to do that. But at the same time, be listening for a simple word that God might be speaking to you, a nudge. And by the way, maybe you don't hear, you know, so much the quiet whispers of the Spirit like an audible voice in your head. But for me, maybe it's more like something in my gut, you know, says, go over to that car. Go over to this place. And I've had that happen too. I won't tell this story, but just ended up with some skiing buddies in a ER room because my buddy totaled on the in Heavenly Valley, and there's a young lady over there, and God says, gives me this nudge, go over there. And it's like I fought as long as I could. I didn't run over there. That would have freaked her out, right? And then, but he was wanting her to hear the gospel story. And right there in the ER room, she invited Jesus in her life. It's a cool story, but it's like, listen to the circumstances. I feel sorry. It wasn't me that got my arm thrown out of the socket. It was my friend. But at the same time, it's like God had a purpose for that. So ask the question, Lord, what are you up to? Because I want to join you. You ever think about that? Lord, what are you up to when you wake up in the morning? I want to see what you're doing today. I want to be a part of that. But I put in your notes of prayer. It's a good way to pray. Lord, who are you wanting me to bless? Where are you, Lord, working in this person's life? How can I join you in this? Jesus, around the world right now as we sit here, is working in people's lives, and some of them you know. And so we want to be asking, who is it? I challenge you, that's the challenge of the Blessed series, is ask God who are 3 to 5 people that you can pray for each day during this series that he may want to use you as a blessing in. So pray and then start listening. All right. So with one ear, we're listening for the Lord's guidance. With the other ear, we're listening to the person's heart. Everybody say heart. So you see, one ear, I'm listening to you, and with the other ear, I'm listening to the Spirit. But as we listen to people, we are not listening to just their words, but what's deeper down below that the words are speaking. So let's read verses 30 through 34. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. And by the way, we're not done finding coincidences. It's just that this is a story. And we don't live it in a neat outline. That's how life is. It's messy. But here is another coincidence. Of all, if you've ever read Isaiah, it's a massive book. And only in 4 places does God have him speak about his servant, i.e. Jesus. Only 4 places in this book of 60 chapters. And what are the chances that only one of those places is the very place this eunuch is reading? And he's reading this, and it's actually in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opens not his mouth. In humiliation, justice was denied him. Speaking of the cross, right? And who can describe his generation? Because he died. For his life is taken away from the earth. And there was more to that chapter, but this is what was read at the moment. I don't know how this eunuch, he's wealthy because he's a very high government official for the Queen of Ethiopia. And so I assume he had favor and means to purchase the book of Isaiah, or at least portions of it. And so then we read in verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began speaking with this scripture. And I was going to read to 34. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning... Oh, actually, no, I was going to stop there. Let's stop there. So we listen to the person's heart. And I like that he asks questions. So we listen to the Spirit on what to ask. There's a few things to remember this. Don't just ask questions, but even be looking for the Spirit to prompt the kind of questions we asked. Have you ever noticed how Jesus engaged people by asking good questions? Right? Things like, what do you want me to do for you? And that came from a blind man, a beggar. And you would think, huh, Jesus, it seems a little obvious what his answer is going to be. But he asked questions to draw deeper things. Why are you afraid? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? He asked lots of good questions. And in your program, on the back of your outline, it says, to bless others, begin with listening rather than talking. Jesus often engaged people by asking them questions and loving them through the conversation. But on the back, there are some ideas, spiritual conversation starters. And just to read a few of them, you could ask people, what is the story of your faith journey? Most people would admit they have a faith, and you can even convince an atheist, which I've done, my own dad, that even he has a type of faith. How have your perspectives changed over time? Have you ever had what you would consider to be a spiritual experience? And if they answer that, so what happened? I often talk with people who are interested in spiritual things, but not interested in organized religion. Can you relate to that? In what way? Or even, do you think there is a God? What do you think God is like? What questions would you like to ask God if you could? This is just a few of those kind of questions. And I can tell you, I've had a lot of people affirmatively like, hey, do you want to talk about spiritual stuff? Maybe you're working, you can't then, but they talk about some stuff. And it's like, yeah, you know, and you empathize with what they're going on. You affirm the difficulties there or questions they have. And it's like, hey, can we meet for lunch, you know, and talk more about the spiritual stuff? And usually people want to talk, is my experience. And so these are just spiritual conversation starters that can help. So listening to a person's heart begins with having the Lord lead you in questions to ask, but it also lies in things that take you deeper. And so listening with care means that you, in your questions or the way you communicate, you can draw deeper things. And here are some things that Jill shared with me that she learned as a medical chaplain about listening. Affirm people when they're sharing by reflecting back in your own words what you're hearing. Oh, man, I'm sorry. That's tough. You know, tell me about that. And ask questions for more clarification. What does that word mean to you? Can you explain what you felt? These are things they just teach in the hospitals to the chaplains. What did you take away from that experience? Draw people out by these, you know, things like, I would love to hear more about this. That must have been really fun or scary or hard. Also, pregnant pauses, meaning you ever have talked to someone and they kind of go silent? They don't say anything? You know, and then you get a little uncomfortable and it's like, you want to talk. Well, actually, I'm going to give you away my secret. In seminary, they call that pastoral grunts. And now anytime I do this, I know you're going to go, oh, okay, this is, you know, you're talking to me. And I go, right? And you feel like, oh, okay, I'm going to tell them more, you know? And so these are things that help with that. But also listen for evidence where God is working in their lives. And a lot of you know this story, but it's just, I just love how Pawnee, who is a member and her son a part of the church, and just how Karen, when she got to meet her through baseball, Karen kept asking questions about Pawnee's faith because she was Islam. And it got to the point where Pawnee said that she actually thought Karen was wanting to become a Muslim because she kept asking so many questions about it, right? And so that really opens them up. And then she comes to hear Karen do worship, and the rest is a beautiful story of Pawnee inviting Jesus in her life, and you got to see her baptized. So, but I, just one quick closing illustration on this one is just Jill had shared how she was at a checkout in a at Walgreens. And in other words, I don't want you to like think this is only for very spiritual types and it's very supernatural stories, right? Like Phillips, like angels and the chariots and things like this. Jill's just at Walgreens and she hears a woman in line who has two people back, she hears, talking about how she's from out of town and has hurt her shoulder. And she's buying ice packs and pain relievers, and Jill's hearing this. So perceiving the Spirit's prompting, Jill waits for the woman in the area between the two doors, you know, and I'm sure that must have been kind of awkward, like Jill's waiting for this lady to walk through. But somehow Jill's so polite she can get away with that awkwardness, and the lady walks through there, and Jill just says, hey, I noticed, you know, I overheard you talking. Can I pray for you? How simple can anyone do that? Can I just pray for your shoulder? How hard, right? And this woman got teared up, crying, and she was just so appreciative for the prayer that Jill gave her. She gave Jill a hug, right? That's how hard it is to be a blessing to someone. So, here's another prayer. And just actually bow your head on this real quick. Just, I think it's good. And I'll just, in your own heart, say, help me to hear their heart's greatest need, Lord. So once we have the opportunity, let's ask the Lord to help us hear their greatest need. So that's our two ears. Now we get to our favorite part, our mouths. So, with your mouth, bless them with Jesus. See how simple that is? It's ironically, I was wrestling until this morning with that title. And it was like, oh, I should just ask. Jesus, you know, I just got up. What do I call this? Bless them with me. Oh, that's easy. Why didn't I think of that in the first place? So then we read in Acts, continuing our story in verse 35 through 39. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? I didn't think about it, but could that be another coincidence? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, and this is just where I can't get my brain around this one, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way, what? Rejoicing. So now a whole city was rejoicing. Now one eunuch is rejoicing. And I believe he was transported, all right? And it's not just because I like science fiction, but actually I think it makes more sense versus, and he saw Philip slowly walking away down the desert road. So, but Philip, and then even Philip's like, he found himself at Azotus. And he passed through, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea, and then the stories will continue. Isn't that a great story? But here's the thing. When we read Philip opened his mouth, I found that odd and had to think and pray on that one, because there's only two possibilities here, and here's the first one. Philip was talking to him with his lips closed. So it was like when he says, do you understand what he's reading? Philip goes, mm-hmm. Well, I doubt that's what that phrase means. Why is it saying, and Philip opened his mouth, okay? So what's going on here is that his opening up of his mouth is indicating that the Spirit is leading his words. So opening up his mouth, the Spirit is empowering not just what to say at this point when he shares the gospel, but he's putting power into those words. You ever feel that when you start saying something? It's like, whoa, I think that was coming from God. Now, when I say open his mouth and the Spirit speaking through him, I'm not talking about divine revelation as in Scripture. But the words God cares about, he just may be bringing clarity to that situation and then putting power behind them to transform a life. I shared in the beginning of a story where I got to share the gospel with, I didn't say, a young lady at work. Zero. Nothing. Scriptures. I had brilliant words because they were coming out of a Bible track in those days. Same, 1 week later, same words, same Bible verses, and Dietra's just like, what does that mean? And she's like, and oh, what I got to do? And it's just like, what was the difference, people? Holy Spirit and prayer. That's what makes the difference. So I think I'll close with the eunuch's own story this morning, because he had such an encounter and was so blessed by this man he had never met before. And so once I had actually was curious about the eunuchs, which is a male who's been castrated, so you know his body's been mutilated so he can serve in a court position for the queen, and there's reasons for that. We're not going to get into this now, but he had, I assume, willingly had this done, and he has great influence and power. And if we were to turn to Isaiah, and even if we were to turn to Isaiah 53, what's so neat, as probably he was hearing from Philip, was how the Lord crushed this servant and put him to grief, but that he shall see his offspring in verse 10, and he shall prolong his days. This, the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, is speaking to a resurrection, which now Philip can explain to him how he bore our iniquities and we become saved and children of God. But now I imagine this eunuch going home and continuing the reading of Isaiah. And if we were to turn to, let me just, Isaiah 56 and read verses 3 through 5, imagine the thrill of, oops, well, I'm in 63, that's what's, let me turn to 56. So just a few chapters over in verses 3 through 5. Imagine him reading this. He reads about himself in the very book of Isaiah. Is this another coincidence? This is one of the few places in all the Bible, Acts and Isaiah, and one brief mention earlier in Deuteronomy about a eunuch. And we read, let not the foreigners, he's from Ethiopia, who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people, because he's a foreigner, right? And let not the, what? Eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree, referring to he can no longer have children. And so he has no future generations. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, in other words, pursue God, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house within my walls, in other words, the very temple of God, a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. If you have no future generations, your name and is cut off. You cease to exist. But God is saying, even better, though children are awesome, even better for you will be a monument in the house of the Lord, meaning a remembrance. Because wealthy eunuchs could be allowed to build monuments to their name for the things that they have accomplished. And he reads, even though I have done damage to my body that can't be reversed, I have a spiritual inheritance and significance because I have my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think that's a powerful story. And let me just tell you, precious ones, that this story needs to be heard in a generation like this, where there are young men and women being convinced to mutilate their bodies because of sexual dysphoria and confusion and persuasions of the world, which is evil. But they're not. And we are going to need to be able to tell them the story of the eunuch who found an eternal future, but also a significance and purpose in this world now. God loves them. And so let us be a people, and I invite the worship team to come up now. Let us be a people that can share with our mouths, after listening with our ears, the things that God is wanting to speak. Amen. And I love that in church history, it is Irenaeus, a second century writer, so in other words, just after this time in Acts, said that the eunuch became a missionary to his own people. And tradition, we don't know if this is fact, tells us that Candace, queen of Ethiopia, was converted to Christ through the eunuch's testimony, and that her conversion caused her to use her office to promote Christianity in Ethiopia and the surrounding countries. So bow your heads. And I have these prayers in your outline. And so, Lord, do even now put in our hearts the people that you want us to be reaching. And Lord, there may be someone that isn't even an acquaintance yet, but give us that boldness. And let us not be afraid of a 90-mile walk if one soul is saved for eternity. But where are you working, Lord, in the lives the people that you've put around us, and show us how we can join you. And Lord, will you give us spiritual ears to hear in a way maybe we've never heard before, just something in our gut, a quiet voice in our ear asking us or telling us to ask the right questions to affirm their hearts and what they're going through. And lastly, Lord, how can we speak a blessing into that situation and give us a boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Amen. Please stand as we close with worship.